This is On the Media. I'm Brooke Gladstone. It's pointless to talk about emotion and the media without mentioning Upworthy. The three-year-old website is built on curating and creating content that moves its audience enough to share its stories on social media. And they've got it down. But the site is also reviled by many for pioneering a brand of sensationalist headline that exploded in popularity across the web. Upworthy-style headlines became so ubiquitous, in fact, that Facebook altered its algorithm to suppress such clickbaity content, which many say slashed Upworthy's traffic. Earlier this year, Upworthy co-founder Peter Keckley offered a mea culpa.
In January, I apologized for unleashing a sort of clickbait monster on the internet. Whereas we were using this newfangled technique to get people to care about healthcare system and income inequality, we then saw 1,000 sites spring up that were using very similar sounding headlines to get people to care about cute kittens and crazy dance moves. You couldn't go on your Facebook feed without seeing one of these headlines.
Just so the listeners know, what is this clickbait monster? Here's an Upworthy headline. This amazing kid just died, and what he left behind was one-tacular. 17 million page views. See why we have an absolutely ridiculous standard of beauty in just 37 seconds. 11.8 million page views. And this is one of my favorites. 9 out of 10 Americans are completely wrong about this mind-blowing fact. 6.3 million page views.
There are examples there that are very curiosity-inducing and also tell you exactly what you're going to see. So, for example, in the here's a ridiculous standard of beauty in 37 seconds, you get to see a model retouched in Photoshop in a quick video that's really striking and powerful. The one that you mentioned of 9 out of 10 Americans don't know this mind-blowing fact, that's clickbait. You have absolutely no idea what's on the other side of that link. That worked really well, but was actually a disservice to our readers and our community. So that's exactly the kind of stuff that we've stopped doing. For the record, on the other side of that link was a great 7-minute video of John Green dissecting the healthcare system.
All right, so you've probably heard that the reason people enjoy quote-unquote free healthcare in Australia and the UK and Canada, et cetera, is that they pay higher taxes. In fact, in the United States, we spend more tax money per capita on healthcare than Germany, Australia, the United Kingdom, or Canada. And in exchange for those taxes, you get no healthcare.
You know, that piece of media that we drew all that attention to, we felt very proud of, but over time, we realized it's much better just to write a compelling headline, but something that actually tells the story.
But they still have that familiar Upworthy cadence. Some on the site right now. This director wants you to know the superhero in his movie is pansexual. Here's why it matters. Or a giant corporation lied about science and got caught by their own employees. Burn.
You know, the thing about clickbait that is not good is when you're actually misleading people or not giving people enough information to figure out what's really going on. That's a thing that we've clearly turned the page on. The idea of writing in an interesting voice, telling people why they should care, that's not something that we want to change. And the more important the story is, I think the more serious the weight is on our shoulders to make them very, very interesting to large numbers of people because it matters to our society that people are tuned into issues.
And by interesting, I think you're talking about engendering emotion. And you've said that you track your stories based on emotion.
We've looked closely at the emotions that our stories leave people with, and we found that emotions that make you lean forward, stand up, want to do something, whether that's inspiration or awe or excitement, or whether it's outrage or disgust, both of those sets of emotions lead to action. And emotions where you end a story and you feel confused, depressed, disempowered, sad, that tends to lead to a lot less interaction.
So you try to avoid leaving people with those emotions.
Yeah. It doesn't mean that we don't talk about very difficult issues. We just try to figure out how to talk about difficult and challenging issues in some sort of hopeful fashion. Leaving them feeling like there is a chance that things can be better is a really powerful way to get them to continue to engage with the hardest issues.
So how do you know when you're succeeding? What's your metric?
people sharing our stories. We think that keeps us honest as we're doing a service to our community of readers and viewers, and of course helps our stories spread throughout the internet.
What about action? Can you measure that?
We've never measured actions in any sort of systematic way, but we've been delighted to see that when a writer or a producer will include some call to action sort of offhandedly at the end of the story, it can often lead to incredible action. We recently told a story about a pizza shop in Philadelphia that has a great pay it forward program to help give free meals to the homeless.
We don't always have a chance to come in and get fresh hot food whenever we can. And for people to donate money, you know, towards slices of pizza for us, like, really made a change in Philadelphia.
After our video went viral, I think about $10,000 of additional slices were donated to the homeless in Philadelphia.
Not to dump cold water on this, but emotion is the business model that you've based Upworthy on.
Well, now we're partnering with brands to figure out how to help them tell their stories in really genuine, empathetic ways. Last year, we partnered with Whirlpool, an appliance company that was aspiring to be a lot more than that.
What was it aspiring to be?
The products that Whirlpool makes are used every day by people who are caring for their families. So we found this wonderful family in Queens. The mother, the grandmother, and the son lived at home at the same time, and told a really great, simple story of their life that focused on this idea of care at home.
What I'm most grateful for that my mom does for me is just being a mom.
I feel like I'm the glue that holds it all together.
She cooks, she washes my clothes.
Making sure that the bank gets the mortgage and making sure that my mom's doctor's appointments are scheduled.
And our users loved it as well. You know, even though it's funded by a brand, it has a Whirlpool logo on the end of it, it's part of an ad campaign, still to us, what we look for is a great story that we're proud to tell.
Some critics have called the emotional engagement that you encourage superficial, you know, slacktivism.
I think the slacktivism critique is based on a pretty big misconception about the world, where there are a million people who are about to call their senator or take to the streets, but then they happened across a great story that satisfied them emotionally, and so they decided to cancel those plans. I don't think that happens. There are people who are busy, overwhelmed, just living their life, and I think if they happen across a story that makes them connect with something larger than themselves, that's a great outcome. We think that the role of media in the world is to actually make society function more effectively. You know, there are a bunch of great institutions focused on sort of the accountability journalism part of that, rooting out corruption, which we think is incredibly valuable. We think there's another thing rooted in emotional storytelling, which is actually building empathy within society. But to actually care about somebody on the other side of the country from a totally different worldview than yours is really hard. And we think that great empathetic storytelling can actually bridge that gap.
Peter, thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Brooke.
Peter Keckley is a co-founder of Upworthy.